Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, Schlatt, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
How would you feel if Charlie and I revealed something really embarrassing to you right now that we've sort of had in the works for a while, but we think this has gone on too long.
Is it about me?
Yeah, no, it's about you. It's a little thing that we've got going on. Charlie and I have hired a hitman, more like a hit barber.
Oh, this little thing.
Okay. We've sent someone that's going to come to your house in about a month or so, and they're gonna shave those mutton chops off. You're going to lose them.
I'd like to see them try. Here's what I can do, Ted. No, because there's something I always sleep with that keeps me safe at night.
Monkey's nut. You're gonna bash in the face of a barber.
Dude, this thing is 30 pounds. This thing is 30 pounds.
But you really
pounds.
Think that'll he's stop the Pope?
He's showing us a statue of the monkey with the nuts right now. It's like a bronze statue
Jesus
that he's got.
Fucking
he's literally licking his
he's
nuts.
He's licking the nuts. And welcome to Chuckle Sandwich.
Hey, all you butt-end pieces of bread. Welcome to Chuckle Sandwich, the best sandwich on the planet. I'm eating chicken.
Welcome, guys, to the I don't know what number we're on, the number 15 podcast, number 20 podcast. Just kidding.
Ted, ask me why I'm eating chicken.
Okay. Schlatt, why are you eating chicken?
I'll tell you why. Because I had the most fantastic dinner tonight with the most fantastic people of all time. Let me tell you exactly what happened. I'm a fan of Korean barbecue. You know that?
Yeah.
You know why?
The beef bulgogi.
Exactly. The beef fucking bulgogi.
Yeah,
so I go down to Korean barbecue bulgogi place.
Bulgogi.
And it's going great. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. I enjoy beef bulgogi. We have the hot plate. You know, you take the tongs. They just give you raw meat. By the way, easiest business idea of all time. Just open up a Korean barbecue restaurant. You don't even have to cook the shit.
Yeah, you don't.
You just hoard piles of meat in the fridge. And when people ask, you bring it out and they cook for you.
Yeah, they'll cook it if you make them angry enough, though.
And they don't even have to take the time to develop their menus either. All they got to do is just like, let's just put together a list and then they can buy that list. And then they tell us what they want from the list. And then we'll just come over, give them a fucking iron bowl with all of the meat just tossed in.
Exactly.
And a really hot rock. They probably don't even know what they're picking. You just give them a bunch of something.
A truck comes out with all the meat and a really hot rock. You put the meat on the rock, fucking easy. All you need is a microwave to run a Korean barbecue restaurant. You just heat up a rock and then put food on. Anyways, the meat's coming out, right, guys? The bulgogi's coming out. I'm cooking the bulgogi. I'm taking bulgogi, put it on the plate, cook bulgogi. Delicious. Most delicious thing in my life. Ah. I eat so much of this. So much of this stuff. Like we get three fucking servings of this shit, and I'm cooking it. And around the second serving, I'm feeling a little bit full, but I'm brave tonight. I'm feeling brave. Some might say my eyes are bigger than my stomach, but I order another dish. Another plate of bulgogi comes out. And around halfway through, I am feeling full. I mean,
big. He's feeling large.
I am feeling big. Very big. I could not
eat. James and the giant peach big.
I could not eat another bite of bulgogi, even if I wanted to.
I bet you did.
The waitress comes by. I ask for the check. Mm-hmm. She brings the check. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, there's a surcharge if you leave meat on the plate.
Oh, gosh, Schlatt. How much meat did you have left?
How much you leave
it
on
was,
that
plate? There was a pile of meat on the plate, boys. Oh, and you know what the worst part is?
What?
It had been on the plate for like 20 minutes and it was all burnt.
Oh.
And I say to the lady, I say to the waitress, this nice waitress who did a, by the way, terrible job of serving me the whole time. Oh my forgot my sweet corn. She didn't bring hot sauce out until I was like on my second plate of bulgogi. She gave me the wrong drink when I asked for a refill. She gave me fucking Dr. Pepper. I drink Diet Coke. And so this was the last fucking straw. This is the last fucking straw. And so I exploded. I exploded at her and I said, ma'am, you really should have told me that before I got another helping of bulgogi and then left it on the fucking plate. As I'm trying to scrape it off the plate with the tongs, it's literally charred on the other side. Charred fucking meat. Because I was done eating it. I was done eating it, Ted. Okay, that's where the meat goes. They give you these tiny little plates that can't fit anything. And you're supposed to, you know, as it's cooking, you take a little bit, you put it onto your plate. That's how the place works, you know?
You're telling me that your normal way that you go about cooking is that you're cooking something, you're cooking, you're having a good time, and then you determine how much you want to eat of that, and then you leave the rest of the food on the hot burner.
I'm done.
I was done. No one else was going to eat this shit. I was done eating it.
Have you ever heard of the concept of cooking at home? Because
bro, do not give you enough real estate on the plates to put the pile of meat that was left under the plate. It just wouldn't work.
But it had to the meat had to come on a plate before you moved it onto the burner.
Oh, that's true. We did have a big plate.
I don't mean to.
I was just thinking about that now. That was totally a huge plate off to the left side. Regardless, the meat stayed on the burner, and it was charred and burnt and disgusting. And I say to the lady, miss, you really should have told me about this policy before I left it on the burner, and now I'm just trying to scrape it off with a wooden little chopstick that's singeing as I try and pull all the meat off, and I put it onto the plate, finally, and it's a huge pile of meat. And I'm like, miss, I'm not eating this. This is burnt meat, and it will not taste good. And you should have told me this policy before I ordered the third one. And it, like, that's just something you should say. By the way, if you don't eat the food, we charge you for what you leave.
So I hate to break this to you, Schlatt. But when we went out for Korean barbecue in LA, when you guys were out here for Chuckle Week, we did go to a place that, and we talked about it.
Because what did we talk about?
Because remember the strategy that we were told about for getting rid of the meat that you could have done?
What?
You take the meat, right?
Uh-huh.
You just start piling it into your mouth. You got a full mouth. And then you think you're sitting there with a full mouth of deep bulgogi. You think to yourself, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. So you walk to the bathroom. And you take a big quote-unquote dump in that
big
bathroom.
Dump.
Flush.
You blow up that bathroom.
Yeah, no. Whoever we were there with, somebody, I don't know if it was Charlie or if it was Shay, like somebody told us about.
It's both of us.
Somebody going to the bathroom.
I didn't realize this was happening. Well, or I would have said something.
No, it wasn't happening to us. This was a separate story entirely.
Food, you beast.
But you should have done that. You should have just shoveled all that shit in your mouth and then gone to the bathroom and taken a big quote unquote dump.
It's still raw on the plate, not gonna stop me. Just fucking shovel it in.
Bro, you don't understand. I was locked in. I was locked down. She was staring at me.
Locked in,
dude. I kid you not. The restaurant was not too crowded tonight.
Well, they got
it was
security not too crowded. Guards in there. Listen,
Tuesday night, waitress isn't doing much. She was at the fucking table. Even if I recalled that bit of information,
but she was hanging.
She would
out
not
with
let
you?
It fly if all of a sudden I just started piling all the meat into my mouth.
No, you
and
say,
walked.
You say, ma'am, I have to shit, and you just start.
How much do you think that they pay her to care that much? Do you think that they pay her enough that she would like? Should let
and that's
you,
the thing.
You have to say
that's
something. If you were like, I have to go to the bathroom. Oh.
Dude, imagine that. Yeah, imagine that exact situation. Schlatt's just like, there's a surcharge. He goes, oh no, and then he just starts piling it in his mouth. And then someone from across the room, one of the people who works there, he's like, he's going for the bathroom. And he's like,
he's doing the bathroom technique.
It's like it's fucking tackled by like three of the workers.
Dude, you make like,
spit it out.
You don't make that much. You don't own equity in the fucking business. Why do you care if some of your raw meat goes missing? Buy more. You don't even have to prepare it. I don't understand. It's so silly. And I said, miss, I laid out my whole spiel, my whole reasoning as to why I was not going to eat this extra meat.
You were monologuing.
A filibuster. Good old fashioned.
And she straight up just says, no, you have to eat it unless you're going to pay for more meat.
And right. So she grabs you know by me. Your stupid fucking man bun and starts pushing you towards the plate. And you said, no, no, I don't want it.
Ma'am, I only have the amount for the exact amount I expected to eat. And she says, well, I guess you'll have to pay for it in another way.
And she says, consume, boy.
And I had to, and she was not taking it. She was not taking it. I mean, like, she was really allegiant to this capitalist business. And so
you're going after capitalism now. That's your thing.
This is capitalism's fault. This is capitalism's fault. That's what I'm saying, man. I don't want to pay for extra meat that I didn't like. It's not my fault. You already pay, it's already buffet style.
You gotta pay. Like
I already paid like $30. Like it's not $30 of meat that they pulled out.
To be fair, you say it's an easy business. Any buffet, right? You can't just pile your fucking plate high. Well, actually, I guess
because you can.
No, they don't let you like take it all, right? But I've never seen it so that if you leave buffet stuff on your plate, they get mad at you. I will
say
they do.
That's how it works here. That's how it works in Korean barbecue, apparently.
I think,
and I just didn't remember. I didn't remember, and she didn't tell me, and she didn't let me. She didn't let me off the hook, and so here I am, eating burnt meat. Like my dinner was so delicious.
You got to go to Squid Game next week just to pay off the bulgogi.
Exactly. Like my dinner was so good. I love Korean barbecue. I love it so much. Ted knows how much I fucking love beef bulgogi.
He really does.
It is my favorite food. It is the only food that I have a subconscious response to really good tasting food where I'll close my eyes as I'm eating it and like shake my head like that. No, there's no way. There's no way it tastes this good. It's the only food that makes me do that. And I was loving it before. It was just such a good night. And then I had to eat like half a pound of charred, burnt, disgusting bulgogi because I was not going to pay extra money for leaving it on the plate.
Man, I can only imagine how miserable you must have been.
Oh, it completely ruined the dinner.
You sort of deserve this, though, in many ways, though. You've got the Pope behind you, and you know. Turn to the Pope and maybe say a prayer because you know that gluttony is a sin.
Where was God that night?
I don't know.
How was it gluttony? How was it gluttony? I didn't even eat all the meat.
No, you know what I think it was, Ted? I think it was greed.
I think there was a little bit of greed.
What? I think there was a twinge of
lust.
Well,
honestly, there was greed because then he engaged in gluttony by shoving more of that meat into his mouth so he didn't have to use his money. And so he was doing,
honestly,
he had a double whammy sin right
tonight,
there.
It seems like the wrath is really coming out tonight.
Oh my God.
Well, goddamn. Let's lock this man six layers deep. That's what I think.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. You know, listen, Schlatt, I think that you really could have, this could have gone better for you in terms of the money section, though, if you had known about this one restaurant in China. Have you heard of this restaurant? Well, I've seen it a couple times on Reddit or something, but there's a restaurant, at least in this case in China, that it's really terrible. It offers discounts to people based on what size they can fit through of of these metal bars. If you look in the chat there that I've put,
God,
a bunch of metal bars. And depending on which one you can fit within, you get a higher discount if you're skinnier.
So wow. So you'll eat less.
So for the people that go there all the time, they pay like full price for the I think the idea is like the people who are, you know, eating a lot and are gaining more weight are their customers that they want to be paying full price. So if the, I don't know, but
business, you know, by
maybe they just hate
fat
people. It's
kind of a really bad way to get people to come back though.
Oh,
isn't
it's incredibly messed up. I don't think that anything like that would necessarily fly in the United
States. Eat here one time, we'll love it. Eat here twice, we will body shame you immediately at the door.
We'll body
Look, that's just not how you run a business.
What's raffling, clowners? And I just wanted to take a second to thank the sponsor for this episode, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered straight to your doorstep. You can finally skip those annoying trips to the grocery store and make cooking fun, easy, and affordable. Fall can be crazy, and time can be hard to find, but HelloFresh helps you save time on the meal prepping, the grocery shopping, and the chopping, so you can get back to doing what you love. After all that hedgehog you gotta get done for your advanced balloon animals class won't knot itself. And not just that, HelloFresh is over 30% cheaper than going to the grocery store. You'll be saving time and money on not buying excess foods with their pre-portioned ingredients. When I was in actual real college, my classes and YouTube left me with not a lot of time. So Grace and I actually cooked a bunch of HelloFresh meals, and it saved us a lot of time, a bunch of money, and was generally just really fun to get in the kitchen with someone and have cooking made easy. One of our favorites was the pulled pork with the pineapple salsa, so if you get the chance, gobble gobble. So my hungry hungry boys, go to hellofresh.com/chuckle14 and use code chuckle14 for up to 14 free meals including free shipping. That's hellofresh.com/chuckle14 and use code chuckle14. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Eat it.
Let me tell you, and I guess the moral of the story, how not to run a business also is to give your give your clients a delicious, delicious meal, have them thoroughly enjoy the whole thing, and then at the end say, no, you have to eat all the burnt shit too, or else we're going to make you pay. Yeah, I didn't tell you before you started eating or before you ordered that, but now that you're here and you said you're done and there's still meat on the table, burnt?
Ted, it probably, I'll be honest, it probably did. A lot of this seems incredibly self-inflicted.
Well, yeah, I feel like this is really... Well, okay, Schlatt.
I'm the victim here. Admit I'm the victim.
How did it burn, Schlatt? How did it burn?
It sucked. It sucked. It completely, I'm telling you, completely ruined my dinner.
That doesn't really link in my head. I feel like I'm missing a couple little pieces here.
Did you think, Schlatt, that when you walked into this restaurant, they were like, welcome to our Korean barbecue restaurant. Also, if you don't eat all of the food, we will charge you. Here's the fine print. Please read and sign
this. I'm saying, you should make it abundantly clear that if you order another plate and you don't eat the whole thing, we're going to charge you before the fucking food comes.
How much is
bathroom? Okay, bathroom's right that way. X-rays next to it to scan you for secret meat.
I guess we got to sort of determine what the reasoning level for this absolute fucking drama that you've brought onto the podcast is, Schlatt. How much was the surcharge?
I didn't care to ask. All I know is that I was not going to pay.
You didn't even read it.
It could have been $2.
You goddamn
It could have been two fucking dollars, and I still would have eaten that.
I still would have scraped all that fucking burnt bulgogi off the hot plate
and eaten it myself. Dude. I still would have done it. I was not going to pay a fucking surcharge.
Oh
fuck
my
you.
God. Dude, this is like... That's like you getting mad at the bus for leaving after you got there.
And he would. And then he'd come on to the podcast
about it. But the bus was on time. It's a self-inflicted wound.
No, this is not a self-inflicted wound. No,
yes,
I'm the victim
yes,
in this
it
situation.
Is. And you're bleeding out all over our show right now.
Bleeding out
it.
Over the floor. You're
yes,
covered
you are.
In crispy beef bulgogi. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
I smell a little bit of burning. Oh, is that your pants? Is that your pants? Ooh, I think they might be on fire.
Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And you want to know what I did at the end of that dinner, guys? You want to know what I did?
I love
really beating the working class down to a bloody pulp. And so what I do when I get terrible service or when someone wrongs me, I don't give them no tip. I give them such a minuscule tip that it's painful for them to type that shit in.
You move a decimal point over on the percentage.
Let me get this fucking straight. You saw the surcharge. And you said, no, by no fucking mean am I going to pay you extra because this is bullshit. You eat like a pound of meat you didn't want to that
burnt
you left on the
meat.
Grill. You get the check and instead of leaving no tip, you say, you know what? I think this needs a fucking surcharge. Are you goddamn insane, man? Are you fucking crazy?
5 cent tip is that he's 5 cents.
I'm going
one fucking nickel.
This is Schlaf's.
You, I'm giving you a one fucking nickel tip. And you're going to go back to the register and you're going to punch that shit in. You're going to punch in 0.05 for your fucking stipend, you prick.
No, this is like the snake that eats its own tail and then just disappears into oblivion. This is like pettiness collapsing in on itself to just create the same situation it was before.
You'll never wrong Schlatt again.
What, man?
Next time you see me in this restaurant, you better know what's coming.
Every step along the way.
So you decided that you didn't like the restaurant's company policy. So you said to yourself,
I'm going to make the waiter pay for this.
I'm going to punish this person.
I'm going to punish this person by eating all this meat and then paying them.
I'm going to punish this person who's struggling to make ends meet and has to go home and say to their loved one, someone gave me a nickel.
I just imagine how funny it must be.
This is the stupidest thing you've ever come on the show with. This is so unbelievably circularly dumb.
Imagine, it's fucking incredible. Imagine you're like 8 hours into a shift. It's a no bones day. The fucking dog didn't stand up. It's too fucking tired. It's so close to death, and you're just like, well, fuck. It's time to work a shift, and then you get a 5 cent tip.
Can you imagine? No, just being this woman and just watching you say no.
Just scoop up burnt meat.
Just angrily on the fucking verge of spilling their guts, just taking this fucking check, looking her in the eyes and putting 0.05. Well, you are just, you're adjusting your fucking belt between the decimal points. What is wrong with you, man?
Oh my goodness.
What is wrong with you?
Imagine that fucking walk of shame back to the register when you see you've been tipped 5 fucking cents.
Dude, you are
a fucking nickel.
You
imagine typing that in 0.05.
Meanwhile, Thomas Schlapp cannot get himself out of the booth.
Here's what it is. Here's what it is. It's commentary. It's social commentary on what I like to call crapitalism.
That's definitely the kind of situation that the waiter would follow you out of the restaurant and like try to start some shit with you.
No, and sir, you know what, they'd be off their post and be fired. I'd simply complain to the manager.
You're the reason why restaurants include gratuity in their checks.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They should. That waiter should be like, fuck this 5-cent tip.
That's how it works. Like, literally,
you're the reason
everywhere.
Why they charge extra at the buffet, because they hope you'll eat it all and die.
I saw a Reddit post once, because I'm a Redditor, about this. It was like one of those like very infuriating posts or something, where a waiter had posted a check, and it was this guy who, you know, he got like a $400 dinner, and he left like. He left like maybe a $10 tip, but it was okay because he put his number on the check after.
Oh, you get like, my number too.
Like, call me and you'll get the rest of your tip.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Fucked up. And that, why is that?
That guy Schlapp.
That was me. Yeah, I left that tip. I didn't get a call either. We're really weird.
Schlatt, do you ever think about how easy it would be to find you if you killed a person? You are the most easily identifiable person. There's no way that you could run from the authorities with those.
I wouldn't
want to.
Why would I run from the authorities? If I killed someone, I would care. I'm not saying I would kill someone, Ted, but if I did, I would.
Today seemed like it was pretty close, man.
I would flip my fucking social security number down on the corpse. I'd do it.
You carry around your
walk myself to the court like, bitch, I did that. X-rated. Johnny don't want to go to school no more.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you would not.
No.
You'd just take the electric chair. That's what you'd do.
Yeah, why not?
Don't they have capital punishment in Texas? Do they have that there?
Yeah, that's why
I moved
there.
What's the capital of Texas?
I really like the whole capital punishment law.
Because they sell tickets to the execution.
That's how they make money. There's no state tax, but you could go to the executions.
That's what you do on a Friday night. Yeah, me and a couple of the guys are going to the mass murderers.
Yeah, this guy.
Watch the lethal injection.
This guy's made it 3 innings.
We're going to watch the state execute a guy for a gram of marijuana.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Oh no.
Well, hey. Listen, I want to be completely honest and upfront. I tip very well unless you make me eat
unless
burnt meat.
Anything happens.
You look you so long. Much as look at me funny. No, I left almost 20%. I left almost 20%.
Unless they ever imply that you would have to pay more like any sort of surcharge whatsoever. So what do you do when you go to if you were to go to the grocery store and like, I'm pretty sure in New York this is the case.
Your mustache.
They charge in New York for bags at the grocery store. You tell me that when you go to the grocery store, you're just going to start
wailing
on the cashier.
No. That's one of the reasons I moved. Fuck you, Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
Fuck Andrew Cuomo.
Little
bag policy. He's not fuck you.
Exclusively the one charging you for your bags. Yeah.
Andrew Cuomo
I know
big,
who's pulling
he
the
is
strings.
Big bag.
He's big bag.
They call him
he's
big bag. I didn't know that.
The more you learn.
Wow. Yeah.
I will say the charging on bags, I feel like, has just led me to spill more small items across the floor. Like
it,
at the grocery
it makes
store.
Me feel
I've
a little bit more
a
romantic
times.
About the bags.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's like I go there and I'm like, oh, well, if I got to pay for the bags, that must mean these are pretty nice bags.
Oh, really? I just pile them
so
up
want
like
more
fucking
bags.
Scooby-Doo sandwich and like kind of teeter-totter on. I try and get the hand sanitizer on the way out to stick out an arm before it all falls over.
What's the most that you've ever teeter-tottered, Charlie?
Ted,
tell me
you
about
me
your
say?
Teeter-tottering
what
experience.
What are you looking for? Are you looking for a number? Or
I don't
are you
know.
Looking for like, what?
Listen, man.
No, just... If
no,
I
Charlie,
were to ask you this question,
Charlie, I'm
what
asking
would
you a really
say?
Serious question right now.
Yeah,
if you
I'm
could not
sorry,
laugh at
I'm
the question
sorry.
Just for a second.
Okay, okay.
So I'm
going
to repeat the
hang
question,
on.
And I'm going to need you to give me an answer.
Narrate
right?
what I'm doing. I'm going to try
so
and sort
you,
this out.
Are you ready for the question? Charlie, when was the the most quality time that you ever teetered tottered. All right?
Mm. Hang on. I think I'm getting something here.
Are you trying to make that moment? Are you trying to make that moment now? Are you trying to?
Whoa!
Charlie's teetering.
Charlie is doing a little bit of tottering.
Watch me totter.
No, I don't know if you're doing much tottering.
I'm really gonna go over, but I didn't.
Oh, that was close.
Yeah, right.
That was close.
We almost had a spill on our hands.
All right.
Do I go switching legs?
All right, that's enough teeter. I get it. You can teeter totter.
Are you scared?
Why stop now?
He's not gonna stop.
He's not gonna stop breathing, so I can't see him doing half of it.
Listen, here I really go.
Charlie, are
you sometimes scared that you might topple? I'm horizontal. I'm like a big Jenga tower, and I'm scared the wrong block is about to get pulled.
Oh, he fell. Oh, he actually fell.
Oh.
That was a funny bit. I like how he did that at the end. He fell on the floor. He committed to it, too, is what's nice. He did. He did. I was scared.
It looked like I committed because I fucking tripped.
That was some pretty top-notch teeter-tottering, Charlie, and I'm sorry that I ever doubted you, to be honest.
All right, Ted, let's see you try and one-up it then.
No.
No. We won't be doing that.
So it doesn't seem like you're really scared of entering any sort of teeter-tottering, Charlie, but no. I mean, you know... I thought there was maybe something you were scared of, because we're getting close to spooky season right now. So I'm sort of curious. I mean, what are you guys most scared of? You know, spooky season's around the corner. People are going around. They're doing. There's green ghouls out there, greener than you've ever seen.
Yeah, probably, you know, from like when you go out, you kind of see some creepy stuff. Probably for me, I think the scariest thing is knowing that the most realistic answer is that when you die, that's it, and there's just nothing. It's not like black, and you know, you stop existing. How dare you? You'll be
how
forgotten.
Dare you bring that onto
besides
our
that probably second
chuckle sandwich
clowns. You know,
clowns.
There were killer clowns on Staten Island for a time. There were killer clowns on Staten Island.
Yeah,
remember
when
stay
God. There.
Wait,
nobody cares
when
about
that
Staten
that
Island.
Was fucking crazy when that happened. I
remember when
about
clowns
that
were roaming around Staten Island for no
just
reason.
Staten Island, dude. It was. It
oh,
was
they
like,
expanded. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was. It was the epidemic before the coronavirus was the
dude,
clown virus.
I only ever saw clown hunters. I never
yes,
saw clowns.
Yes.
Wait, okay,
but I saw
so
the
I did
people.
Not...
I saw Snapchat stories of people like marching with bats, looking
bro,
for clowns. And I'm
bro,
like, what do you
some
mean?
Of my friends,
what the fuck
some of,
did I miss
during that
looking
time?
For clowns? What clowns?
Okay,
dude, some of my friends were. I absolutely. Street. 100% the same exact fucking thing, dude. I go on Instagram or like Snapchat and see my friends were like going into forests just with bats
clowns?
On the off chance that someone was like LARPing as a killer clown.
Okay. So here's the thing about killer clowns.
Well,
for every
one
clown, there's 100 people trying to kill it.
So,
okay?
Just to give an explanation for our people that don't know what we're talking about, in 2016, if you don't remember, there was a clown panic where I don't know what was in the air in 2016. Like, you know, something was going on that year. Like, the internet was quite edgy. The politics was quite edgy, and for some reason, people were dressing up as clowns and going around and just hovering in the woods, and people were like, why is this happening?
I'm not convinced it ever actually did happen.
I didn't know that. I guess I'm just not friends
I never
with people
saw,
who are
Ted, I never
for a
saw
clown.
The clowns or pictures of the clowns, but I saw thousands of people mobilizing to kill them. I don't know what that means. I can't
now that you
comprehend
think of, now
what
that
means.
Thinking of it, it's
so
very
weird.
Little clowns. It's saw right? Very little of saw very few clowns.
What a surprising fact.
What is
that
all
like,
about?
We can mobilize our entire country against these nebulous reports of clowns showing up, but then a worldwide pandemic happens and we don't know exactly what we should be doing.
Do you think there was just some guy like online, just fucking clown hater, like, and he was just like, hey guys, let's go get him.
Kill these fucking
don't.
Things, dude.
Let's up the prejudice against the clowns. They don't get enough shit already.
So what's
I remember,
dude, clown?
I remember seeing an article, like an unironic fucking sad article about like this lifelong clown who they did an interview with, who was like, yeah, man, no one's booking me anymore.
Oh, no. And he went to clown school and everything.
It was really sad. It was really sad. He went to clown school. He spent he devoted his entire life to being a clown. And in 2016.
And in 2016, he finally was. Wow.
He was the clown, yeah.
Would you guys ever try out clown school?
What a stupid fucking question. Do I want millions of people trying to kill me and find me in the woods?
That's been 5 years. It's been 5 years. Surely the prejudice against clowns has gone down. I'm not asking if you
could
would
say, I could say clowns are coming on social media and it would happen again, man. It's so fucking easy.
Why would you think we could rile up the next generation of clown hate?
I think that we could, yes, we could absolutely. Probably get something going there.
We could snuff out the clowns but now.
When I say if you would ever try clown school, I'm not saying like would you go try clown school, become a clown, and then just start roaming the streets.
Well, I'm not gonna get my fucking clown diploma and just normally, sit on Charlie? It.
But what do you think they do normally?
I mean, what you just described, normal clown
roaming
employment. Maybe
like an NPC. What do you think their purpose is in the first place?
You go to clown school, yeah, and they're like, all right,
you find a nice hoard.
Once you get the clown degree, you just walk out of the building and never stop walking.
What a strange I mean, thing to be uninformed
sure, maybe
about.
Maybe I'll settle down and rent a fucking sewer. Like, I have to say there's only so many options.
The strangest thing to be uninformed about is what a clown does. Like, that's such a random thing. Like, it's so...
Well, because if anyone is informed about it, I immediately pull out the bat and I say, mm-hmm. How do you know that?
We're all about misinformation here.
We've been searching the woods for you.
How did you confirm that that's what they do? Oh, okay. But what are you actually scared of clowns, though, Charlie? Because that was what your example was to my question.
So I had a period of time where I definitely was, and then I had a period of time where I said I was because I felt like it was a pretty common one to be scared of. And then I feel like I relapsed into a period of time where I actually am.
You said you were scared of clowns to be cool?
Well, so at first I was scared of clowns because I was like, clowns are creepy.
Okay.
And then I also saw that a bunch of other people were scared of clowns. And I started kind of getting a little less scared of clowns, and I was like, I leaned into it. I was like, oh, I'm really scared of clowns. But then I watched Cabin in the Woods last night, and there's like a clown in that at some point. Clowns are fucking creepy, man. I don't really like it. I mean, nothing tops needles for me, but clowns.
Needles. Do you not like getting like? You're a vaccinated boy, right?
I don't
right?
like getting fucking porked, man. I when I went to get the vaccine, every time I've ever gotten a shot, I'll do it. But the person observing me will actively be like, you look so goddamn ill right now. Like, there is no color in your face, and you are sweating beads, and damn. You are shaking. Are you good?
And I'm like... I'm sure that observation really alleviates the symptoms that you're experiencing. Of course.
Yeah.
I'm sure
I love when
makes everything.
I grab
sure
the syringe with
better.
My shaky fucking arms, jam it into my phone. I will stare. If there is a needle that enters my body, you can bet your ass I'm going to look dead at it the entire time. And why? I'm going to be like, oh, I'm conquering it for sure. Why? It's because I fucking hate them, and I want to not hate them. And so I stare at it because I think it will make me stronger. And yet I still just hate it every fucking
yeah.
time.
You could just not look at it, though.
I hate needles. No, but you I refuse. I have to look at it, dude. I
you
have
don't
to.
Have to look
I have
at
to.
It. No, you don't
yes,
have to
I
look
do.
At it. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Listen. I've never looked at a shot when I get a fucking vaccine
no,
or anything.
No,
I just
okay?
look that way.
It's human to be scared, but we have to face it. So I'm going to look at my shots.
You don't have to, though.
I'm
like, going to
look
you
at my shots. Yes, I do.
I forgot to mention this about clowns, but I recently had gone. I went to Knott's Scary Farm in California, which is it's normally called Knott's Berry Farm. I don't know why it's called. It's an amusement park that there's no good reason why it should be called that. But they have a Knott's Scary Farm, which is like the Halloween kind of aspect thing. And there's a clown section of that park that I was walking through. And you know how they have those people in those types of parks that are running around, they're trying to goof on people, they're trying to do some goblin shit.
Yeah.
One guy came up to me and he was walking up to me and he was doing like the spooky thing where he was looking at me. But then I saw, this was like the weirdest moment ever, because you never expect these people to like break character. But the dude like squinted his eyes. And I was expecting him to say something like or something. But then he goes,
10?
Where do I know you from? And he says, what do you do for work?
And I'm like, I make YouTube videos. And then the dude goes, ah! And then he just goes back to scaring people or something.
That's fucking awesome. Did he like have his in character voice when he was talking to you? Because I would be terrified if there was a clown that waddled up to me. How do I know you? Like, I'd be fucking horrified, dude.
I think he was pretty close to his normal voice. I wasn't sure if he was trying to like do it halfway, because I'm sure that I bet they've got like people walking around. The people watching the scares to make sure that they're in character the whole time or something like that. But there is a video that Shay
collecting
took,
the fear gas like Monsters Inc.
Shay was taking a video while that was happening, so we have like a video of his reaction to the fact that while he's the Scarecon, it's like him throwing his arms up and then he walks away and then he just like lunges at someone for a second, then keeps walking. Like he's like out of character now he's back. He's a killer clown all of a sudden.
Conversion. That's beautiful.
But the reason why I was thinking of not Scary Farm was because we went there recently in terms of things we're scared of. I thought that I was completely fine with roller coasters for a while. Like Charlie and I, you and I went on Incredicoaster once.
I used to be terrified of roller coasters.
Yeah. I think part of the reason why you and I had that conversation on that roller coaster was because I was a little bit afraid of the roller coaster too, though. That was a way to distract it. But Shay convinced me to go on this roller coaster called the Accelerator at Not Scary Farm, which is quite indicative of the speed. It goes to it's basically a minute long ride, and you sit there and it accelerates really, really fast, like the Incredicoaster at Disneyland, and it goes up like fucking like four stories or some bullshit, and then it goes down, it goes around again, and then you're done, and that's all it does. But the thing is, the ride accelerates to 82 miles per hour in 2.3 seconds, which is faster than any car on the road.
Yeah.
Any car. So we're waiting in line, and Shay and her brother, they really, really want to go on this. So I'm sitting in line, and I'm like, I don't know. They had to convince me to get in line because I was like, I don't know if I want to deal with that. It's less of that I was scared. It was more like my thought process was like, I don't know if I want to deal with that shit.
So what is that like? What does that mean? What is it specifically that you're like, I don't want to deal with?
Like, I don't want to deal with like the nervousness of that.
I couldn't go that fast on my own.
That build up to the launch. I know once the launch is over, I'm probably not going to die. But like, you know, but they managed.
Why
to
would
get
you
me
die
the
during the launch?
I don't know, because, well, while we were waiting in
the
line,
the hand of God comes in and just unedits the bottom half of the roller coaster.
While we were waiting in line, her brother said that, oh yeah, one time somebody got their like foot broken by this ride, because when the thing was launching, it uses this system of pulleys, like really, really strong pulleys system or something like that to actually get it to its original speed. And one time one of those snapped and it flew forward and went like through the front of the ride and hit like a kid in his leg.
Oh, that's fun.
So I already have that information going into it, and I'm like getting ready to go on the ride. And the thing is about the ride too is that it's completely open air. There's no like sort of, you know how sometimes on rides you go and it hides you for a little bit. You can't really see how the entire ride goes. Like in this one, it's like totally, it's just the framework of the ride where you see the people launch incredibly fast. They go up real high in the air and they come down and you're like, man, that seems like it's going to suck. But I get all the way to the point of being about to get on the ride. And for the first time in like, God, it has to be like 12 years or something, I like felt genuinely like afraid. I felt like a little kid again for a second, where I was like, oh fuck, I really don't want to do this. And I was like, almost getting to the point. It was such a strange thing, because I hadn't felt like that in so long, where I was getting to the point of almost being like upset, which was so weird. But then I ended up like going on it, because I was like, I can't disappoint at this point. I just got to do it. And
it'd be almost as embarrassing, like almost as scary for me to be like, no, and then just walk past all the other people waiting in line. Like,
yeah, that was part of it.
That'd be as embarrassing
as not
eating all the
bulk
cookies.
Because I was seeing like these little kids get on the ride too, and they were like, I'm so excited, and they're like,
is that Ted Nivison pussying out on the accelerator?
That's my YouTuber, and
hey man, I subscribe to you. That's really disappointing.
Yeah. So when you're sitting on the ride, it has like a stoplight system. So it starts with like two orange lights, and then like three lights, and then it's like a green light. And you hear like a person on like the intercom go like something along the lines of like, control, you ready? And it's like real, it seems like a intense, much more serious situation intense, than a normal roller coaster because they're launching you. So the whole time that, that's once those lights start going, the whole time I'm just sitting there, I'm not listening to anyone. I'm just saying, and there's kids around too. I'm saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then the ride launches and then it's, and then we're gone. And then it ended up being fine. But I think back to how I just was just yelling, fuck you out loud.
Hmm. Would you do it again? And what was the worst part? Those are my two questions.
The worst part was the buildup to getting on the ride and then the moments right before the ride. And then after that, like, I don't get sick on rides. I think it was, I just have a very strong imagination of what could be. I think it's that was the main issue I think I was running into. Would I do the ride again? I think that the fear of going on that ride has probably been reduced by half. So I think every time I would go on the ride, that initial fear would probably be, it's going to keep cutting it in half. But I have like an idea for like a video that I won't say that I would want to do that involves roller coasters. So I feel like I need to like go on that. But there's other rides that we went on that are like fucking corkscrews spinning, going upside down. It's called the Silver Bullet.
Is that your eye sabotaged roller coasters one that you're talking about?
What's up?
The eye sabotaged roller coasters video.
How dare you reveal my plan, Jelly Slimesicle?
Sorry, yeah. No, I just, there are some weak supports, and I just, you know, we had talked about which ones we wanted to target.
Yeah, it's more like a social experiment. Like, what would you do if your ride broke down in the middle of a roller coaster while you're strapped into this metal machine built exclusively for joy? So, Schlatt, what are you scared of?
Oh, dude, we should definitely show up to a theme park and just say uh-oh over the intercom before some kid launches.
Like, that's bad. I've seen videos of people like bungee jumping, and right when they jump, people are like, oh, no, no. And then they throw a second rope behind them.
Oh,
so the
God.
Dude, as he's falling down, he sees another rope, and everyone's like, no.
I would just give me a panic attack. I would just close my eyes and cross my fucking arms, man, and just sink into the sea like Dracula. That's
like at some point, it's a little too fucked
up. That's way too far.
That's really messed up. I've seen those before, and they bother me.
Yeah,
I would not be friends with someone that did that.
So that's, is that what you'd be afraid of, Schlatt?
No.
What are you afraid of, Schlatt?
I am afraid.
Don't make stupid shit.
What do you mean stupid shit? I'm not saying anything stupid.
Sure, you're not going to say, like, there's too much bulgogi left.
I'm afraid of surcharges.
You know? I'm terrified of the day. You know how there's, like, a day? Like, you know, you play Minecraft for the last day, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
And you don't know when you're logging off that's the last day, or, like, you don't know the last time you say goodbye to a friend over Xbox Live that's the last time you're ever going to see him.
So not like a vampire.
No, not like a vampire. That dog, no bones day dog, he'll get up for the last time. And no one will know that's the last time, but soon it'll just be like, this dog ever?
Someday it won't be binary anymore. It'll just be no bones.
So you're worried that the time you see someone is going to be the last time you see them?
I'm more worried. Well, yes, but also I have a huge ego, so I'm going to make it. How can I make it about me?
Right. As you
that know. my name or anything that I've worked on or my effect on the world will be referenced for the last time at some point, and then for eternity onwards, no one ever utters you or thinks about you or consumes anything you've ever made, and that's it. Then you're done. Then you've disappeared.
Wow.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Ted.
Yeah, I like that.
All your loved ones, all your lineage that you helped to create, never even fucking think about you. Can you imagine?
So let's figure out how you could go about doing this and make sure that we can make this happen for you, Schlatt. So don't have any kids. Don't have any kids. That's the first way we can snuff that little legacy of yours. I was thinking about saying something against your mutton chops again, but I feel like I'm going too hard against your mutton chops this episode for some reason. And then another way, I suppose, would be to
I mean, just rip the Band-Aid
YouTube,
off.
Stop the podcast.
Kill
all that.
One of us.
Well, no, because then...
No, then they keep talking about
People talk about that. People talk about that.
You mean any legacy. You don't mean a positive legacy.
Oh, no, any legacy at all.
So your name will be mentioned for the last
time. You'll be thought about
for the last
time.
You know what actually I just thought of? Now, if Schlatt killed me or you, would it be Schlatt is a murderer or would it be Slimesicle found murdered? This is really important because it determines how this goes. I'm just wondering.
I think it would be sort of more like an overall group drama kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Like Charlie's murdered, Schlatt's in jail. I'm the one who's on the TV interviews.
We'd be the first podcast.
I'm the one on the TV interviews promoting my new book.
A new book.
We'd be the first podcast ever where the members killed each other.
My new book, The Last Chuckle. Where I talk about...
Hey, at some point in time, The Last Chuckle will be had.
Oh, come on.
Listen, there will be the last episode of the Chuckle Sandwich, and we might not even know when, as we're making it. We might not know that this is the last episode. Maybe it's this one.
No, don't say that. People are going to be like, wait, what?
Someday, the last clown will graduate.
That's also true.
That's definitely a fact.
Someday, the Earth will be consumed...
Okay.
By a red giant sun.
True.
And maybe. Every trace of all of the history that ever existed upon this planet, including any legacy that we could ever procure.
Nah, bro. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I think we're going to go interstellar?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm putting slime in a cannon and I'm shooting it out to God. And
you're
I'm saying that's
made
me.
Of slime.
Listen. Hey, listen, all I'm saying is, in the time it'll take for that shit to happen, we'll definitely have figured out a way to get Earth moving outside of this fucking sphere.
We're going to move Earth?
Well, I hope
we're
going to
move Earth. Of course we're
going
to move Earth.
Wait, this is billions
of years in the future we're talking about. Humans have only been a thing for like 10,000 years, right?
You don't mean move people, you mean move Earth.
Yes, I'm telling you, we're going to...
The big thruster!
So you don't think about like spaceships or some grand?
No. I think there will definitely be spaceships. We'll definitely be on other planets in other galaxies. But what I'm saying is, there ain't no way that we're just leaving Earth to die. There's probably going to be some kind of rocket put. We're going to make it move. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, we're definitely going to leave Earth to die.
No. There will absolutely be an effort to maneuver the birthplace
like
of humanity
out of the way
of the burning up sun. I guarantee.
Oh, you're talking about like
in like a billion years they'll be like, oh my god, that's our monument. We gotta move it. Oh,
that's so where we came. That's where we all came from. That will 100% without a doubt. Even if it's a dead rock at this point.
You know that's fucking crazy, right?
So you think that some sort of rich entrepreneur...
Charlie, they thought iPhone was crazy. Okay.
So you're talking...
No, can we pushing the fucking Earth.
Yes.
Yeah, let's break this down.
Yes.
Schlatt currently equates
not even
moving an entire
necessary.
Planet away from the wrath of the sun.
Yes, absolutely.
To
this
Steve
will
100%
happen.
Thinking of a device that you can play Flappy Bird on.
Yes. Yes.
Don't say yes so sincerely, like you really mean it.
I genuinely believe that humanity will not let the Earth be enveloped by the sun.
I mean, surely that'll be at a point that we've got some sort of fucking Dyson sphere around the sun, and we're taking all the fancy shit. You're talking like.
You have no idea what's down the road. We're going to invent some shit. I'm going to invent some shit.
You're talking like
I'll invent some shit that does it.
You're talking like Isaac Asimov, like level science fiction shit.
This is like, this is pretty out there.
Dude.
I also feel like if we're that far down the line, why
Charlie,
the
do you know
fuck
who that
would
is?
We care about
Isaac Asimov?
I got no idea.
What the fuck? What's going
but
on
I,
here?
I inferred.
Why the fuck would we care about Earth, the birthplace of humanity? You're dumb if you think anything.
It's not going to be that
you're
anymore,
so
though.
You're so stupid.
It's not going to be
you're
that
so
anymore.
Stupid. That's where we came from. That's literally where we came from.
Yes, but it's also going to be like the
here.
Whole... We're going to have fucked the whole thing up. It's just going to be a big chunk, and we're not going to want to build a...
I think we're
thruster.
Still going to do it.
I mean, surely
no one's gonna
after
care.
We fuck
because
it
the
up,
people
gonna
that are
going to
be alive
it.
Aren't going to fucking care, man. They aren't going to
care.
No,
they will.
There'll be
no,
so
they
many
will.
Generations down the line.
They will.
They're
like, going to
have
okay,
iPhone
sure,
2,
I guess.
They're going to have iPhone 2 then, you know?
I'm telling you, they're going to... We're going to move Earth.
You keep saying you're going to invent
something,
too.
This is absolutely goddamn insane. This is like saying when
it's not insane.
You know what? We got to go. Let's make Pangea again, because that's where we came from.
It's
we
not insane.
We
got to
push everything together. We got to put it all together.
It's not insane. If Earth is still around, like, we're going to move it.
Are we going to take Mars with us, too?
Maybe, probably, because okay, it'll still it will still be doing shit.
What about the moon? Are we keeping the moon? Are we leaving the moon there?
Dude, you're acting like this is so far fetched. You don't even know what's gonna be going on billions of years down the road. And you don't think the birthplace of humanity, you think all humans are gonna be like, no, I don't give a fuck about this. Let's let the sun swallow it up.
Bro,
the place where we all started, that we all came from. You don't even think some fucking billionaire. You don't think some fucking billionaire is gonna be like, oh, I want the earth for myself. And he's gonna put a fucking rocket on it, bro. You're gonna put a fucking rocket on it. Something's gonna happen. The earth will not be eaten by the sun. I guarantee you, it'll be gone.
Where will it go, Slat? Where will it go?
I'm telling you, people thought the iPod was stupid. People think this idea is stupid.
Everyone come to the USA and everyone jump at once.
You're strawmanning me. You're gish galloping me. You're Hassana beinging me. Okay. And I don't like it.
But Slot, the iPhone analogy point. Is
you
not
have
a strawman.
One argument. You have one argument, and it's going to move.
We're gonna figure it out.
No, what's wrong with my iPhone argument?
I just don't really know how the iPhone relates to moving a planet. That's all I'm.
People
that's
thought
all
the
I'm
iPhone.
Thinking.
All right, I'm done. I'm leaving the podcast.
You're fed up with us. You're fed up with us.
I'm out.
I can't
you guys
do
don't
this
believe
anymore.
In me.
Oh. This podcast
you guys don't
is
believe in me
ridiculous.
And my ideas. I'm going to clown school. I'm going to clown school,
you
and then I'm just going to start rolling around.
This is coming from the
bulgogi
man.
Give me your mom's credit
who
card.
Ate
fuck
like
you.
A pound of meat just to pay the same amount of money. I'm all sorry. Right. I'm signing off for today. I can't do it with this guy anymore. It's too
oh,
much.
Oh Jesus! Oh, he's leaving too. All right. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Chuckle Sandwich Podcast. Let us know what you think. They're both gone. They both left their chairs. So I'm good.
Have
a good one, guys.